And in our study of Jeremiah, he has been along years, getting to be years, in terrible and worsening conditions. So things don't get better, they get worse. And thus, there is a determination on the part of Jerusalem and Judah to leave God totally out of the picture and to trust in and of themselves, their prophets, their priests, their kings, to trust them. And that's what they did, and we're doing. And Jeremiah is stuck in the middle of it. He can't walk off in some island somewhere and send them a communication and tell them things are bad. He's right in the middle of the badness. Now, that is a very sticky condition. And there are all kinds of conditions in the world around us that we live in. There are conditions that exist in Iran that don't exist in America. There are conditions in Russia that don't exist. Each country different. Korea, all of them. China, all of them. They're all different, all in different kind of conditions. And we have American conditions. And then you zero in closer, and you have your own local conditions, circumstances, situations. And you live in them. And you live in them sometime day in and day out. Sometime they're only for a little while. Other times they're for a long time. So, now, having that, so it applies, what we're looking at applies to all of us and will help all of us, to say the least. So Jeremiah, God has recorded him in his wonderful way, so that, and God has raised him up. A prophet of prophets he is, no question about it. And now, over in Jeremiah chapter 17, having setting that little bit, and then going, if I can, to verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So God is going to, in the light of the things that aren't going to change, God is speaking out, is there anyone going to pay attention? If you're going to be the man, strong, valiant, and you're going to trust in yourself, man, Adam, the word Adam, flesh, dust, if that's what you're going to do, then you're going to reap the consequences. And the consequences, verse 6, for he should be like the heath, juniper, scrub, dried up scrub, desert scrub, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see good when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places, always living in the dried out, dead places. Parched places in the wilderness, and in a salt land, and not inhabited. That's where they live. It's where you live. And that's where people live. That's where the world lives. They live there. And we'll see that in just a sec, maybe. Now, having said that, so that isn't a good place to be. It isn't a good place to trust in and of and by ourselves, to say the least. So now, in verse 7, God's going to give a contrast to that man. And thus, in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So God's going to make a contrast again. And blessed is the man. And the word blessing, remember, means to bring into prosperity, to make prosperous, to bring, to bend the knee, the verb to bend the knee, to look, and for God to bless, to bring the prosperity and benefits that only God can give. Blessed. Blessed be the person, the man. And that's the same word now that you have up in verse 5, cursed be the man. And remember, those two nouns have to do with being strong, courageous, valiant. They use the verb, capable of going to war, capable of fighting, capable of being powerful, etc. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, just to see it, if I can, hold your finger here and go over to Jeremiah chapter 9 And you'll remember it, maybe. Jeremiah chapter 9, and in verse 3. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, shooting, defending their lies. But they are not valiant. There's your little word, man, strong, powerful, able, capable of going to war, a warrior, etc. They are not valiant for the truth. God, you want people, Israel, to be valiant for the truth. That's what I want. Now, one other place that will help us with this, back over to Exodus. Exodus, if I can, and in chapter 17. And you'll see it to get a handle on it, the difference. Exodus chapter 17. And picking up, if I may, in Exodus 17, going, if I can, directly in the light of the Moses and the Amalekites and the battle. And remember, Aaron and Ur held up his hands. As long as his hands were up in the air, they won. When his hands fell down, the Amalekites won. So they held his hands up, Moses, and as long as they held them up, they kept winning. And the word, chapter 17, Exodus, verse 11. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. See the verb to prevail, to win, to have power, strong, valiant. They prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek, there's your verb again, prevailed, was strong. So when the hands were up, Israel was strong and valiant. When they were down, the enemy was strong and valiant. God, what do you want us to be? Just think of Joshua and all those, Joshua chapter 1, 6, 7, 8, 9. Be strong and what? Of good courage. And you keep saying that. That's right. I want you to be strong and of good courage. I don't want you to be weak and wishy-washy. I want you to be strong and of good courage. That's what I want. So now, back over now, you'll understand it better, I think. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 5. We don't want to be trusting the strong man, trusting in Adam, self, dust. You don't want to do that. You aren't going to survive. You aren't going to be strong. On the contrary, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. So the valiant, strong man, in order to stay strong and valiant, needs to trust God and not themselves. And to keep that in mind. Now, and of course, the more you serve yourself, the more you seek to solve, which the world does, flesh does, the world seeks to solve and seek all the different things in our life, and we try to work them out as best we can, and we try to do them. And the more we try to do them, then we become very, very self-dependent. We're trusting ourselves. The more we do that, it's fine, everything's going good, and you just keep doing it, trusting, working it out. But you know what? And you use your resources, you use the world's resources, the government resources, and you use all those resources, and you're successful. And then comes something in your life that your resources cannot fit. Something in your circumstances and conditions that you don't have a handle on. And then it shows up. What shows up? You've been trusting yourself. See how hard it is to turn to God when you haven't done it. And every day you trust yourself, trust the system, trust yourself, trust the system. It's a habit. And we're creatures of habit. You're going to do your habit. That's what you do. And you wonder why. Why wasn't I instantly looking to God? Because I got a habit, and I have to break the habit. Israel, what are you telling? Is there a man, a woman, boy, a girl in Israel that's going to trust God? I want you to be strong and of good courage, but you can't be if you don't trust me. Hang on, we'll pick it up in a sec. Now, in the light of that, blessed be the man, prosperous, very prosperous, benefiting from all of God's wonderful grace, is the man that trusteth in man. The person is trusting in man, and looking to God. The word trust means to hold on to something, to grab hold of it, and hold it tight. Hold it tight. And then you're holding it tight, you're trusting it, and thus you're relying on whatever you're holding to hold you, to support you. Now, so we have it repeated. You have it up in verse 5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. You're going to slide down to verse 7, the man that trusteth in the Lord. So the person needs to be trusting, holding on to, holding on to the Lord. Now, and whose hope, that's the little word trust again, to trust, and to look to God, trusting and holding on. In other words, it's the same word, a little different condition for it. It has to do with holding on, and you're holding on. So how do you get hope? Well, if you're holding on to something, what are you hoping? You're hoping and trusting for support to hold it. And you're hoping. Aren't you hoping that it holds you? You're hoping if you keep relying, keep trusting it, it's going to hold you. And that's what you... And so the word trust, hope, reliance, same word. And now, so having said that little bit, and you want to contrast that in an easy way to remember... Hold your finger here again and over to Job. And in chapter 8. Job in chapter 8. And picking up, if I may, verse 13. So are the paths of all that forget God. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. The guy that's not real, not genuine, won't last. Whose hope shall be cut off, whose trust, there's your little word, relying, holding on, trusting, shall be a spider's web. So you're hoping, and you're hoping now, and you grab on, you reach out to that big spider web and grab it. And you're hoping. And the hypocrite's hope, the man, a woman, boy, or girl is going to trust in themselves or the system. It's going to show up somewhere. It's like a spider web. It's just going to take you. Well, you can't hold. They can't support you. Over on the other hand, Psalm 115, on your way back. So we don't want to have a kind of trust, hope, like a spider web. We want to know, what are we holding on to, self, system, or the Savior? And in Psalm 115, picking up if I can, in verse 12. Now remember now, as we're looking at all these blessings are there, and you need to hope in the Lord to get them. And just to, without getting there, remember in Deuteronomy, chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, you have, starting verse 1 all the way down to verse 15, you have all of the blessings, the wonderful blessings that are going to happen. That you don't have to make them happen. God makes them happen as you're trusting him. And blessing after blessing, whether you're in, whether you're out, whether it's easy, whether it's hard, whether it's much or whether it's little, God is going to bring a consistent overflow, outflow, a blessing. That's what he's going to do. So blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope, trust is in the Lord. Hope, we're trusting you, God. We're trusting you. That's right. and here now, not a spider web. We don't want to hang on to that. That kind of hope, self, system. Chapter 115, picking up if I can, in verse 9. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Again, verse 10. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help, their help and their shield. The fear, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And verse, what? Well, I'll read down to it. Verse 12. Who hath been mindful of us? He will bless us. God will bless us. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Aaron, Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. Verse 15, you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. So God, here we are looking, and verse 18, and we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, praise the Lord. So God, we're going to turn it around. When you bless us, we're going to, remember the bend word bless, bend the knee. God, when we bend the knee, we bend the knee and you bless us with your wonderful presence, and we in turn bend the knee to honor you. Now, having said that, back over if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 17. So blessed is the man that's going to be trusting, hanging on to the Lord, and who's trusting the Lord. The Lord is their hope, their rope to hang on to, their wonderful support, the wonderful rope that sustains them. They can hold on to it, and it will survive. It meets every test that there is, and in doing so, meeting all of those tests. And not like a spider's web at all. Now, so chapter 17, verse 8. That man, he's going to be blessed as we share together. He's going to be blessed like what? Like what? What kind of blessing are we talking about? That we need to understand the reason God makes it imperative that you fix things. If you don't fix them, then you're going to reap it. You say, well, I haven't reaped it in 10 years. Wait till the 11th year. I haven't reaped it so far. Hang on. It's coming. Isn't it? All of us can say never. I know what happens. Make-believe, imagination, you get old. And you get old, and you can do everything, and everything, how you spell everything gets small. That word gets smaller and smaller and smaller, because you really can't do everything. You realize you can't do, and pretty soon you can't do anything. You can't do anything anymore. Wow, that's right. But it'll happen. Don't say it isn't going to happen. It is. Either we're getting a good habit of developing, or a bad habit. And to say it isn't going to happen, it will happen. No question. No question at all. Things happen. When I had to go up to the Bloomfield the other day, a big trailer truck turned over up at the junction on 91 up in Hartford. And boy, did it block the traffic. And to say the least, for a long time. Do you know, I bet that truck driver, he never thought that would happen. I bet he never thought that was how. I don't know how old he was. I don't even know him. I don't know if he lived even. All I know is, I bet he didn't think that would ever happen. But it did. Now, where are your resources? Where's your sufficiency, your brain, your understanding, what you trust in? See, it disappears. Now, so having said that a little bit, the benefits. God, you're trying to tell us. That's right. For 17 verse 8, for He shall be like a tree. He shall be like a tree. Like a tree, not a tree, but like a tree. Planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. It's going to be like a tree, not a tree, but like a tree. Now remember, now we're comparing a bush that doesn't give much hope for you in the middle of the desert, dried, not much scrubby looking, spiny looking, nothing. You're comparing that in the dry desert to a tree. Like a tree. You don't want to be like the bush. You're going to be like the bush if you trust yourself in the system. It's no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah, you're not. There's no exceptions. No, even for the billionaire Gates and all of them. There's no exception. That they can just have just as much depression, disappointment, discouragement, and fears as much as the guy living down in the gutter. No question. Just different, that's all. Wow. So now, God, here we are, be like a tree planted by the waters. So I want to get a handle on this wonderful little recipe. God says, if you did this, this is what I'm going to do. This is how it's going to go. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, looking at that, over please, in the light of being planted, to be set, to be placed, planted, like a plant, like a tree, planted. Over, if you would please, to Psalm 1, you know it. I just want to reference it because it uses the same. In Psalm 1, first Psalm, the man that walks with God, the man that trusts God, and that man, Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, like Joshua, meditate day and night, and I'll make your way successful, no matter what you do, how you do. And that was true for David, too, that same truth. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that's a pretty awesome statement. I'm going to do it again. Build it. Over, if you would please, to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And in Psalm 92, picking up the thought, may I go to verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like what? The palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Giant cedar. No, they never come down. Palm tree, whoop, palm tree's up. Cedars sit there and sit there and sit there. Wow. Well, and like a cedar in Lebanon, those that be planted, there's your little verb, in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So now, that's an awesome, wonderful thing. God, you would plant, you're talking about a tree planted in your house by you. And that tree lives in your court, lives in your grounds forever. And you said the believing heart is going to be like a tree planted in your house by you for all the benefits. Now that's pretty awesome too. I think that's awesome if any believer wanted you to go for it, but that's what God said for believers to encourage them, and they shall flourish in the courts of the Lord, of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. For what reason? To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So, God, you're going to demonstrate your wonderful gardening ability, and you're going to go and to raise up the believing heart that would trust you. And the believing heart is like a plant, a tree, is going to be looked at, and the tree is so awesomely, wonderfully kept, provided for in every way, that the tree, you have to take note of it, that it is not like any other tree. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and so the waters, back over to Jeremiah 17. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. So now, here we are looking at a tree, and the tree is going to spread out. It's intensive, going to spread out. It's going to take its roots and spread out all over. And going to do that because that's what it does. And it's going to just feed. Now, illustration that will help you get that, I think. There was a place, a dry farm, not in this country, across the ocean, desert. And it was very, very, very dry. And they had planted 28 young trees out in that place. And the rain that normally might be there was not found. And it was dry and a drought and dry and dry and dry. And the trees were not doing well. So the owner, the men went and poured water on the roots over the tree, around the tree every day, poured water every day. And the drought continued and continued. And you know what? The trees died. They died. They died. But weren't we putting water on them? Yes, you were. What was the problem? Well, when you put water in the trees, the water in the ground is drying out. And you put the water in, the water runs down. The roots, roots are happy. You can just think of yourself as a little root, would you? Down in the ground, and a little root in the ground, and here comes some water. And wouldn't you say, guys, to the other roots, wow, here comes some water, and we're all going to go and feed in the water, right? We feed in the water, we feed in the water, and we feed on that, and we're satisfied, we're all happy, and then we wait. What are we doing? We're waiting for the next watering to get water so to feed. Roots, know what we're doing, guys? Make them a root, And we're down there, and we're roots. And you know what we're supposed to be doing? Roots are supposed to go down to find the water that God meant it to find, to survive. You have so tricked us that we're caught up in trusting in the water from above, which is not normal, not that way, not in the drought, not like that. And we're trusting that. So instead of deepening our roots to survive, we have quit doing that. Do you know, all these things better than I do, people can take antihistamine and all different things. Aren't there all kinds of medicines that you can take? And you take them to relieve something and relieve something and relieve something. And then you make that part of your system lazy. And when you want to stop, you're bothered. You have to understand, probably you should stop. But you're going to have to allow time for adjustment because you've tricked your system to not have to work, not have to do what it's supposed to do. It's designed to do all kinds of wonderful things like the tree roots. But you have to go and exercise and understand that one of your problems may be you got to stop it in order to restart your system. Tell your system to wake up. Go to sleep. It goes to sleep. It doesn't need to work because you're giving it something else. And people do that. And then they wonder what the problem is. What the problem is. You told your system it didn't have to do its job, etc. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, therefore, that's why you don't want to develop the habits, self, looking to self, to fix the system, to do everything, to fix everything, to make it all come out, and then you trust, then you want developing what? Roots in God. And that's what's missing, more than not. No roots. Over to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. You'll remember it. Chapter 13, picking up, if I may, directly in the light of the parable of the sower and all of that. May I go directly to the different types of ground? Verse 20. 13:20. The type of, but he that receiveth seed, the word of God, into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but he dureth, he lasts for a little while. But when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He drops off. He steps aside. He drops off course. Wow. Because of the root. No roots. If you don't need to put any roots down, you got to put roots down. That's what you got to do. And God has to help us with the roots. And we need to put those roots down. And Judah and Jerusalem, they needed to put roots down into God. Now, that you say that's silly. But I need to do this and that. Surely we need to be responsible for things that are normal and make common sense. But all the rest of it, even when you do that, you don't trust yourself. We're told that. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So we don't trust ourselves, but we trust God. And we do everything. You take your medicine. You do what you're doing. But you're trusting God. And the medicine, vitamins, medicine, exercise, all of that's all right. But that isn't what's going to keep you. That isn't going to keep you. No, God. God is going to keep you. And you want God's will for your life, and you're going to have to trust God. Now, if I trust God, like you're saying, God, with all my heart, if I really do that, and that doesn't mean I'm not being using good sense in my general living. If I really do that, God, what are you going to do? God said, listen, I'm going to make you like a tree planted by the waters, and your roots will reach down into an endless supply of water, and I will supply you so that your green leaves, and fruit, and you'll never worry about famine, drought, up, down, easy, hard, much, little, friends, foes, work, home, school, play. Nope, you're learning to trust me. You're doing everything you should in a reasonable way, but you're learning to trust me. That's what I want. And you'll be like a tree. Really? He said, I told you. And I'm going to give you all kinds of tests to prove it. So when I allow trial and test, like for Jeremiah started off in Jeremiah 1 as a young person, having to trust God. But as he goes down the road, all those years, Jeremiah, what are you going to do? Well, Jeremiah becomes Wow, did he grow? How? He went through all of those hard things. And he trusted God, fell down, got up, trusted God, kept going, and he got stronger and stronger. Be a man, valiant. I told you, be a valiant by trusting me. And that's what they were to do in a most awesome, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would please, Isaiah. If I can, in Isaiah. And picking up, if I can, chapter 50, Isaiah 37. 37. We'll get it. Hit the target. And in Isaiah chapter 37, picking up if I can, in verse 31. 37 and in 31. And you will notice, please. This is, now remember Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the Assyrian invasion. They did the 10 tribes. They're coming down, the Assyrians, to Judah, Jerusalem. Hezekiah's king. What are we going to do against the Assyrian army? What are we going to do? And so in the process of that invasion, God encourages Hezekiah's heart, and he encourages him and gives him this word, chapter 37, verse 31. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Roots go down, fruits go up. Roots don't go up to get things, they go down to get them into God. For out of Jerusalem, verse 32, shall go forth a remnant that shall they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. God's going to do it. Now, God, in the tribulation, as Judah, are you going to protect Hezekiah? I am. By the way, when the tribulation comes, when the house of Israel, when Israel turns, I'm going to protect them. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to do a wonderful thing for Israel in that day. Now, while you're in Isaiah, over if you would please to Isaiah 53. Isaiah and 53. And picking up, if I may, just to get the flavor of it. Remember our Lord, Isaiah 53 is about our Lord going to the cross, etc. Now, when you read verse 1, 53, 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, we just read that in John 12, because no one's believing the Lord in John chapter 12. Verse 2, what's the problem? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. We know his Aunt Joseph and Mary, his half-brothers and sisters, we know him. He's from Galilee. A carpenter's son in the midst of Roman oppression, Herod's politic, the corruption, the unbelief of the Pharisees, Sadducees. What a mess. And our Lord was born and lived in that very dry ground. But he trusted God, and God raised him up out of that dry ground to go to the cross for us. Wow. Now, having said that, while you're in Isaiah, or if you would please, to chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And may I pick up, please, chapter 60, Verse 60 and 21. Thy people also shall be all righteous. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. I did it. who on earth is able to save Israel and make Israel, in the light of all of Israel's history, who can ever do it? Who can ever pull something out of the fire that's been all burnt up, it seems, and pull it out and save it? God can. God can. And it's my planting. Israel is mine. And watch what I do with it to teach it, to educate it. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. And in verse 3. To appoint, I'll read verse 2 in the light of his second coming. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God, you're going to bring your people into the place that they are going to be called your trees in your house, your planting. God, you did it. That's why this nation is so awesomely going to have a wonderful future, because God is in charge of doing it. Wow. And I'm going to do it. And you're liking us to trees. That's right. My planting, you know, I plant you. Now, hang on to that. And in the light of that, while you're here, over, if you would, to chapter 60. Backing over there. Chapter 60. And may I pick up at the in chapter 60, verse 7. I'm going to go right to the end of the verse for time's sake, near the end of it. Shall minister unto thee, they shall come up with acceptance of mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. God, in the millennium, it's going to be an awesome time where you are the centerpiece. Uh-huh. I'm going to be there. Now, and Israel's my planting, they're my trees. Now, verse 13. And the glory, in the light of the nations and Israel, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box, together. What for? All those trees are going to what? They're going to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. I'm going to stand in that wonderful temple that will be built. I'm going to stand in it. And it's going to be if you thought Solomon's temple was something, where do you see this one? It's mine. I did it. And I'm going to beautify it. And you know what? I'm going to stand right in the middle of it, and my feet are going to be plunked right down. It's my place, my sanctuary, for my glory. Now, that's awesome. And Israel, God, you promised to the believing heart, ultimately to the whole nation, to be a tree planted by the waters, rivers, streams, roots spread out, green, always green, forever green, never careful, never anxious, never worried, never wondering about whether you're going to be able to survive, because it has nothing to do with your physical being, has nothing to do with your social being, has nothing to do with your economic being. It has everything to do with your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with any of that. I have to learn that. I have to underthink it. I got to get it into my head permanently so I don't have that problem. I got to get it down so I don't get hung up by the system. I'm trusting the system. Roots going upward trying to get the supplies. I don't want to do that. Now, so the sanctuary is the place of your feet. Uh-huh. And what about Israel then? Verse 14. The sons also of them that afflicted thee, Israel, shall come bending unto thee, and they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. So Israel, God's feet in that place, and everyone else in the world, all nations are under your feet in the light of being God's wonderful nation, all nations being in submission. And Israel, everything's under your feet in that day. All your enemies. Now, over for us, if you would, Over, if you would, in your Bible, to 1 Corinthians. And chapter 3. And you will note picking up in verse 6. For I have planted, Apollos watered, said Paul, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, and neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. After all, it's God's garden, God's planting, God's place. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're all the same, God. But, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own work. But God, you'd give the increase. That's right. Now, God, what else? 4, verse 9, we are laborers together with God, co-laborers with God. But how are we co-laborers with God? You are God's husbandry. Husbandry is a tilled field. Think of taking a field and going through with a big plow and turning it all up. You are God's plowed field for God's planting, to be God's trees, to be God's garden. For God, like in a tree, a person. Wow. Now, and verse 9, you are God's husbandry, you are God's building, you're God's sanctuary. The place of my feet in my sanctuary. God standing, honoring God, being honored in your own heart. In your own heart. Wow. The place of his feet is glorious. It's my sanctuary. My tree. My garden. You're my planting. You'll be like a tree. Don't. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. I want you to trust me. Really do it. Really, really do it. You're not going to work your life out running all over, doing whatever. You're going to work it out inch by inch by trusting me. And I'll get you through Monday, Sunday, and a million years from now. So you just honor me step by step, like a little kid growing up. Little kid growing up. And you're growing up and you're learning. And adult, you learn to exercise the adult world and your own willful ways we have in us. And then you're learning, and you're learning as you grow. And then you become mature a little bit, and you learn to be an adult, and you're responsible for a whole lot of things. And you're having to be dealing with things. You don't escape them. You don't run away from them. You live with them and work them through. And you have to do that. Now, if you do that without God, and people do by the millions, but then you have all the repercussion and the results, and you don't want the results. You don't want them. You want good results. And that's why it says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember thy creator in the days of what? Of your youth. So when you are old, you will have learned a good habit of trusting me. Otherwise, when you get old, a little grasshopper is going to drive you bananas, because that's what's going to happen. You learn to trust me when you're young. Wow. Now, so God, here we are looking, and quickly, over if I can. Over to Ephesians. That's good. Ephesians. And in chapter 1. God, you say it all. When I read Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, all I got to do is move to the church and the body of Christ, and wow, I got all the benefits. More than, wow. Ephesians chapter 1, picking up in verse 2, the gift, God's, the Father's gift to the church, his body, and God hath put all things under his feet, under the feet of Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is, verse 23, his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, and the church is the body, and the feet, stand. Whose feet are they? They're his. His feet. I'm part of the body. The believer is part of the body. Literal, real, wonderful. And the feet belong, the body, the heart belongs to God, the lungs belong to God, the arms belong to God, the legs belong to God, the feet belong to God. God, here we are, the feet of those that bring the gospel are beautiful. We stand, and we're able to put on the whole armor of God. We're able to have everything because we're resting. And our feet, like Isaiah 60, and verse 13 in that. God, we stand. Be strong and of good courage. I want you to be like a tree planted by rivers of water. And you're never going to run out. I don't want you to worry. In fact, you tell me not to worry. It's a sin to worry. Like, you know, I do that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do it. I want you to trust me. But shouldn't I be afraid? No, I told you not to be afraid. You told me all those things. Well, then I need to do them. That's correct. And if I don't do them, I don't have any benefits. And you wouldn't know the difference. I wouldn't know the difference in my life between anyone down the street, anyone at work, anyone at school, anyone anywhere. I'd be the same as them. I do the same as them. I think the same as them. Until God, you get a hold of my life. And then the feet, the place of your feet, are glorious. Wow. To be able to, Romans chapter 6, remember verse 5. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, so will we be in the likeness of his resurrection. Planted. That's right. Wow. God, you did it. It's an awesome thing. And thus, God, and then you say it, make it clearly in all kinds of ways, you know, and like a tree. And they did it at the conference or something. John 15, 5, without me you can do nothing. Now what's a branch? A branch is just a branch. It doesn't do anything. It learns to abide. Abide. Now what do you do to abide? You rest in the finished work of Christ. You abide. Thank you. You have to actually do it. You want to rest? And you rest. Really do it. If you don't do it, God. Isn't a tricky thing. If you don't do it, you don't get it. And if it doesn't happen in your life, then you're going to get somewhere down the line because you're getting and getting and never benefit. You got to get the benefit from it. And if you don't take the medicine and stuff, don't take the recipe, then you don't get it. And you want to get it. So God, here we are, little people, and God, you've made such a wonderful thing all the way through to the believing heart. All they have to do is believe. It'd be like a tree. So when you see trees, lots of them, bushes with the leaves coming out, leaves and then fruit. Are you better than the tree? How's that? We'll close with that. Aren't you better than the tree? How long do you think the tree is going to be around? You say, it's been around 100 years. Out in California, 3,000 years. That's pretty long for a tree to be around, isn't it? 3,000. But be of good cheer. In the Revelation God said, I'm going to shake all the trees up and get rid of them. So there go all the trees. And you're still there. You're still there. Wow.